Yes, hello. Welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you are in this bright blue world of ours, it's a wonderful welcome to another episode of the Raw Food Barefoot Athlete podcast. And I'm Russell.
And I'm Sonia.
And we'll get straight underway today. We've got our race reports and training. We've got the ingredient of the week, of course, what's new and what's happening, and the topic of the week. So where do you want to start?
Well, I'd like to start again with our race reports and training, Russell. And yes, I think we've got a few things we can talk to our listeners about today with that, regards to that.
Yeah. Well, we have started definitely the inroad now to our training for our first peak. That is, we've mentioned it before, is the Pentath
run.
Yeah, trying to Pentath. What is it called?
Yeah, Pentath run, because it's five races over the 2 days, equaling a marathon over the 2 days. Yeah, it's very, very interesting. 2 days of running, that's for sure.
Yeah, and what it is now is that we're tending to, this will be our first peak, shall we say, of the year, and it'll just be a benchmark for us too, as well as that we're looking to our running and see how it's going, and then it'll be a conscious effort into getting the running sorted. Basically, we've still got another month of warm weather here.
Yes, and it has been really warm today. So, and last night we were still running, and what was it, 7:30? We were still running, and it was still very warm.
Yeah, and that's, as I was going to just mention that, whenever you're looking to compare times, you definitely have to take that into consideration. It's like what we've said, our running during the winter, summer months have been just keeping in hand, and we just like running. So from here on in, yeah, we're going to start, we look more to times and object results and put a formula in place now to make sure that we get there. Now, what I'm looking at here as well is really nutting out how also our racing flats perform as well. And what I was hoping to do was to try a couple of other different, racing flats out, minimalist running shoes. But look, the more that I get used to, we use a race flat for a, being as I'm doing five, my particular thing is 5K now, what I'm looking at is that I really do like running without shoes on. I mean, without even a minimalist shoe, it feels so much different. And it may sound, I don't know what's the word here. It may sound like I'm trying to push a barrow, my own barrow, but it is a truth. I really feel more comfortable running, bare feet. What do you think?
Russell, I really had quite an eye opener there last night when we were running around South Bank, and we got to about the 6 kilometre mark, and the strap on my racing flat was really, really annoying me through the middle of the toe. So I mean, and I took the racing flats off, and I felt so much happier running barefoot. That's for sure. I really enjoy that.
Yeah, and it's not trying to be masochistic. I mean, I know for sure when I'm off trail running, I'm going to be using something. There's no doubt about it. But for these, flat 5Ks that we're running at the moment around the parks and those sort of and that type of terrain, I'm definitely going to stay with the barefoot on it. So, it was a really, really beautiful night last night. We ran down past the Brisbane River and through the botanical gardens, and I mean, unless you really get the idea of getting out there and running and enjoying it, it's a hard thing to try and explain to somebody once you've finished a. I mean, we only did 8K, but it was really, really pleasant.
Yes, and then we had a nice swim afterwards at the big pool that's down there. But we were quite surprised at how warm the water was. We were expecting it to be a bit cooler, and we hopped in. It was like a bath, wasn't it?
And yes, from here on in, also you're going to be trying, because you've decided to do a marathon, you're going to be trying the Jeff Galloway's walk, run, walk method.
Yes, well, I'm going to do the Gold Coast Marathon again this year, and the previous two times I've run it, I've done running the whole way. But I'm definitely going to give it a go with the walk, run method, Russell, and just see whether I can enjoy it a lot more than I did the last two.
For anyone who doesn't know about the Jeff Galloway's method, it does exactly what it says. There, for certain times you want to achieve at the marathon, you just walk for a corresponding time, isn't it? Sort of one on, one off, some of it.
Well, it depends on your actual pace, but there is a calculator that you can access on his website that will help you to work out the ratio or what you got to do with the walking and running.
And that's what we'll be doing in our training regime. I'm not going to bother it so much because I'm not going to be having a marathon this season. So that'll be Sonia's reporting on that. I'm just going to stick to the 5K, and I'm just going to throw the half marathon. Pentath event is just a long training run on the weekend. You will still do a bit of long stuff, but I'm more inclined. Well, I want to get under 20 minutes this year, so if I can do that, I'll be a happy little chappy. So we'll move on then from the race reports and training. And well, do you want to hit the ingredient of the week, Sonia?
Yes. Okay, well, today I'm going to talk to you about the ingredient oats. I must confess that I do use a small amount of oats, organic rolled oats, in some of my uncooking. But being very mindful of the fact that grains in general are not good for human consumption, just remembering that our bodies are not like the iPhone. We aren't updated every year. These are the same bodies that we've been running around in for 5 million years. And there's absolutely no reason for us to be consuming processed foods today. The regular grain consumption only began 10,000 years ago. And prior to this, bone studies show that mankind lived on a diet of over 70% vegetation.
And isn't that interesting? Yeah, because yeah. On that, that's what these, you get the, sorry, we're getting into these paleo arguments and stuff, isn't it? Because you're going to get someone come back and said, oh, yeah, but, they were also eating animals. And I said, oh, yeah, well, it's part of our whole emphasis, I suppose, behind what we're doing here is that we particularly believe in a plant-based, raw foods, lifestyle of our food sources, et cetera, et cetera. But, and sometimes there's no way to say this is category right or it's this categorically, set in concrete, But there's certain things like the oats or when grains come into production, there's certain markers in civilization that say, look, when this arrived into the population, these things happened, and you make your decisions on them, eh?
Yes, well, the listeners may like to do some of their own research and just Google why grains are making us sick, and you'll be absolutely amazed at what information's there. But small amounts of oats may help someone make the transition to a raw food lifestyle easier, especially if grain consumption has been high, and choosing a small amount of organic oats could be a consideration. And if you need to keep a grain in your diet, then here are a collection of facts that to consider. Oats do not naturally contain gluten, but there is a similar protein in them called avenin. And that has the same properties as gluten, but fortunately adverse reactions to this oat protein are rare. Cross-contamination of gluten from other grains at the processing plant is a problem for people who suffer from celiac disease. Oats contain high levels of protein and dietary fibre. The question is, can we eat oats raw? Now, the short answer is yes, and the long answer is maybe. Depending on what you classify as raw, and also the type of oats you have and how you want to enjoy them. Mm. Well, my research, Russell, shows that...
What does it mean when they say something's dehusked?
Well, it's got that outer shell taken off. You know, the oat grains are dehusked before they reach our kitchen table in order to simply be digestible for our stomachs. And from there, the grain is heated and cooled to make an oat groat.
Is this in raw as well, is it?
Yes, yes. Okay, I mean, to make an oat groat, considered the most raw
an oat
form
groat.
Of an oat you can buy. An oat groat. Oat groat, yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
You Google oat groat and have a look. It's just, the grain dehulled and then it's obviously heated and cooled. Then the groats are then either rolled by machine, giving us rolled oats, or cut and broken into smaller pieces, giving us steel-cut Scottish and or Irish oats. By that, they've got an affectionate name. Rolled oats can be pressed into flatter, thinner grains labelled traditional, or slightly thicker grains labelled thick-cut rolled oats. And then when it comes to steel-cut oats and rolled, are usually all okay to eat raw. Although minimally processed, they aren't technically raw.
See, that's when we come into it, isn't it? This whole raw thing again. You know, where do you actually have to start making the decision whether you want to use something?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it, Russell? I mean, the light steaming process, as well as the flattening of the surface, is a form of pre-digestion that makes the grains easy enough for our stomachs to have. And then we get into like the quick cooking oats or the instant oats. The quick cooking oats or the instant oats are rolled more thinly and steamed longer and or partially cooked. Like instant oatmeal also contains salt and sugar and in some cases artificial sweeteners. The fact is that you can add rolled oats into water that is not hotter than 47.778 degrees Celsius, and they will still be considered raw. That is, a live food with all its enzymes intact to aid digestion and nutritional assimilation. I mean, the final question is, do we want to eat oats? Oh, you know, do your research, and, you know, we have to make up our own minds, I think, Russell.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's what you irritate. You put forward there is that grains are only new in our diet. Do you have to eat them? Yeah, you know, is it necessary? Well, I mean, if you're a nomadic person, you want something to take with you, well, you know, probably rolled oats is a good thing. But in our society at the moment, well, maybe we don't have to have it. I mean, we use a little bit for a cooking sometime.
Uncooking,
yeah. You know, but it's not a great deal, and we're okay with that. But at the same time, we're phasing out what we don't need in it just for that reason. It's just if we can find a substitute for it, that's great, you know. So, all right, well, look, let's move on to maybe what's new, what's happening. You blew up the blender again, dear.
Yes, well, I mean, we gave it a good workout last weekend, Russell, at our event. But the other day I did put a little bit too much cabbage and stuff in it, and again, I'm just made. It's not very strong, that particular one, so, yeah, I did blow it up.
Well, this has been a point that we've been making, is that, I mean, we can go and buy one of the, you know, U-Butte, $1,500 or whatever, blenders, and that's all well and good. But I mean, I'm still happy enough at the moment. I mean, we get normally, let's try that again. You can be lucky. Well, I think we've gone through what four $20 blender, no, four $40 blenders. Would that be about right?
Yeah, that probably average. They're about $29.95 on average each, something like that, $30 each, roughly like that. Yeah, yeah, but. You know, it depends on how many you go through a year and you multiply that about, you know, with the more expensive one. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's the point you make, isn't it? Like, we, you know, we'll buy that and, you know, we've got it has been a bit rough lately because in the last 6 months I've gone through two of them.
No, we've gone through three of them in 6 months.
Six months, yeah. But that has had a lot more work than what it has in the previous 6 months. So, you know, when for someone like ourselves who do, you know, we do demonstrations on it, it moves into a another realm of just being, you know, being used for the person who is finding out about getting green smoothies into their diet and just, you know, just playing with the idea if they're first up, because that's what we're about here. We're trying to put this message out about you know, everyday raw foods for an everyday lifestyle. And, you know, you can find a, you know, $20-$30 blender at the op shop, you know, if you really want to start it without having to invest $1,500. But at the moment, yeah, we're really weighing up what our next purchase is going to be. Well, I know that we are just going to get another quick one, you know, $20-$30 one for the moment, because we're still ahead of the game at the moment. So, but we have now started looking, hey, for what is the one of the varieties that are out there. What's going to be the best brand?
Yes, well, that's going to be quite an adventure to find one that can handle our needs.
yeah, that's right. It's, you know, so anyway, we'll get back to you on that one. What else is new and happening? Well, yeah, well, we've started now just to the first video of the Raw Food Barefoot Weekend is up and it's out there. So we're putting together the PDFs. Sonia's madly getting the PDFs of the recipes put together.
Yes, well, I've got them mostly in hard copy, written down in my own handwriting, so it's quite a challenge for me to get them all onto the Evernote.
Oh, well, yeah, the Evernote is, if anyone's into productivity side of things, it's a great app that you can keep all your notes in, and I've been encouraging Sonia to make sure that it goes into the Evernote and it's easily transferable then, rather than having to write it out three or four times.
Yes. Well, my writing is quite a mess and I'm the only one that can understand it, Russell, so I feel sorry for you when you're trying to put it over on some of your things.
But, well, you know, that's one of those problems we're happy to have, you know, when we're looking at the great recipes that are coming out, and that was another thing that we wanted to say as a part of that. What's new and what's happening? We're up to Mount Mead to do actually a
Well, we had a couple of people attend our event, and they were very impressed with our raw food recipes. And so they asked us to come up and help them with their function next Friday.
Mm. Mm. So we're looking for that, and we'll have a report of running around the mountains. So that'll be fun. So look, what we'll do now is that we'll just go into this topic, balance and sensitivity. I wanted to say a few things relating about last week's topic we touched on about being an expert. And I think Sonia ran into this today when she, well, you know, during the week when she was researching her bit on oats and other things. And would I be right in saying that every sort of point of view seemed to be counteracted by another point of view that said the opposite?
Well, I think that's what we've got to do. When we research any topic or subject, we really should, you know, be asking the pros and cons of anything we're researching and see both sides always, because, you know, there is a lot of contradictive material out there and you've just got to make up your own mind at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true. You know, like you get these opposite poles of arguments that, you know, everyone's each claiming their correctness and viability of their argument. I'm thinking that what I would hope to be saying and hope that I do come across is that yeah, you know, I looked at that and of all the answers I found, this is the one that worked. It's far easier to use an urban myth or a truth that has been around for so long that it's become a truth just because of the fact that it gets repeated so often. And, like, what started me on this sort of thinking for this particular topic this week was that, a conversation that I was having regards alkaline foods for pH balance of your blood. Again, you know, technically, like, foods don't influence our blood pH, well, in so much that, like, there's definitely certain circumstances in which the blood is more acidic than it should be, and this can have and does have serious health consequences. However, you're more likely to find that this state of acidosis is caused by pathological conditions, such as, you know, renal failure and insufficiencies, and I've seen enough information to feel, and read enough information to feel pretty confident that your body, your blood pH will be hovering around that comfortable, 7.4 by more inputs than whether you choose to eat a salad or a burger at a single meal. Look, you know, I'm not a medical person, and of course, you know, I wouldn't try and diagnose anything or claim to have any great insight. But what I do recognise, especially after being involved in the, alternative eating or raw foods, whatever you want to say, but I do recognise when information is being slanted to fit some message that the dispenser of that information is trying to coerce you into believing, even though it may be the best of intentions, right? They just want you, they've got to, you know, make sure that their idea is seen to be sound, and that's what I just don't agree with. I mean, I see, and again, look, I'm not saying I've got the whole truth either, but I've seen enough of the, you know, you get onto a forum and you see a rant about one thing and then you'll see the comments about something else, and then, you know, and I see this from subjects ranging from, the enzyme theory to the rules around the 100% raw foods, you know, to, you know, cooked foods equals death rants, and look, in the way that we're really trying to approach what we're doing here is that, you know, we are complex pieces of art put together in this organic compound called the body that has this energetic component, and that is as finely tuned to our environment as is an individual instrument in an orchestra. Like, if the third violin goes out, look, most likely the player sitting next to him is going to pick up on it pretty quickly. But, you know, the tuba player down the back, you know, probably not going to pick up on it straight away. He'll just be playing his tuba. But the compounding effect of just that one instrument left untuned will eventually impact on the tuba, because what would happen, you'd end up with this unholy racket of harmonious waves of this energetic energy vibration that makes up music as it is seen as to be a harmonious symphony sound. And this is where I feel that the balance and sensitivity come into play. Like, the more of your decisions that are made up from a consciousness and sensitivity of the totality of what makes up your life, the easier it is to find the balance needed to tune into the symphony of your life as a beautiful sound, not an uncohesive racket. So, I mean, you know, it's not something like, you know, feel like, you know, really needs to be, you know, belaboured on a point, but I think in, you know, when you're doing your research and just, yeah, just make sure that it fits in with the energetics of yourself. And from, again, an I statement, when you do start eliminating just the obvious things that are there in your life, that, you know, if you really apply a consciousness to it, as in how it's working with your body, not about what you feel like you should represent or should, you know, champion because you've always thought that way, I really do think that you'll end up with that really wonderful balance in your life, you know, through mindfulness, you know, through that proper energetics and getting that nutritional compound in your life. So, look, I don't even know how long we've gone today. We've the clock stopped off.
But yeah, the clock stopped. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. Anyway, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, look, we'll leave it at that for now. And like always, we'd like you to visit our Facebook page or leave a contact. Or even comment. That was what I was trying to say.
Yeah, geez, comment would be nice.
Yeah. My teeth are just trying to fall out on me today. Same old words. But look, we'll leave that. And for now, it's Russell saying goodbye.
And also from me, Sonia, and catch you next time.
Of the week that I had.
Remember, take off your shoes. Go for a run. Shoe manufacturers don't own your soul.